Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." Father God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would make this word come alive in our hearts today. Amen. So today, we live in a precarious and fragile world. Just in the past week, Syria has undergone a revolution where a violent and cruel dictator has been overthrown. And there is still no idea of what sort of leadership and government will replace that dictator. It could be something just as bad or even worse. We don't know. And just the south of Syria, Israel has been engaged in a brutal war with forces in Gaza and in Lebanon. And we're now approaching 3 years since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has resulted in the deaths of thousands. The displacement of many, many more has pulled different nations into the orbit of this conflict. And there are other conflicts and wars happening all around the world, including conflicts in Myanmar and the Sahel, the region just to the south of the Sahara Desert in Africa. Civil war in Sudan and Somalia, and people fleeing dangerous conditions in many more places around the world. In light of all of this, it might seem a bit incongruous to say Merry Christmas. However, it may help to remember that the events of the first Christmas happened in a climate that was just as tumultuous and dangerous. So by the time of Jesus' birth, the land of Israel had been under foreign occupation or had been a vassal state of a more powerful nation for most of the previous 500 years. They had been subject to invasion and oppression by Assyrians, Babylonians, Medes, Persians, Greeks, and their most recent overlords, with the Romans having conquered the land just 60 years earlier. The Romans ruled by proxy. Julius Caesar placed an Edomite convert to Judaism named Antipater as leader of the region as a result of his loyalty during the Roman Civil War. The Civil War, which you may have read about in Shakespeare's plays, or if you'd seen the movie Cleopatra with the story of Mark Antony and Julius Caesar. Antipater was on the side of Julius Caesar at that time, and so as a return of favour was placed in charge of the region of Judea. This Antipater was the father of two sons, one of whom, Herod, was king at the time of Jesus' birth. Herod was responsible for huge public works, including the construction of the second Jewish temple in Jerusalem, something that was considered one of the greatest building projects of the time. He also built a harbour, a for the time modern harbour at Caesarea Maritima, and he built several fortresses, including the fortress at Madassa, where 70 years later the last remnants of a Jewish revolution were killed by Roman forces. He was also a cruel and paranoid ruler who was hated by his Jewish subjects. It is said that he desired so much to be mourned by his Jewish subjects, who he knew hated him and probably wouldn't want to mourn him, that he arranged for a large group of men to be killed at his death so that the families of these men would be grieving and that there would then be an appropriate level of grieving in the nation when Herod died. He was so paranoid that at different times he had three of his sons and one of his wives executed because he feared that they were plotting to usurp his rule. This led one ancient writer to suggest that it was better to be one of Herod's pigs than one of his sons. So this is the world that Jesus was born into. A world where his homeland was full of the soldiers of their foreign occupiers, and the local warlord made king of the land under the Romans was a bloodthirsty, cruel, and vindictive ruler. It's a world that the inhabitants of Gaza or Ukraine or Syria would recognize perhaps much more easily than we would. And our text today starts with the arrival of the Magi. The Magi were court astrologers, probably from Babylon or Persia. It was their job to advise their king based on their observations of the stars. Based on what they had observed, they concluded that a new king of the Jews had been born. There is much speculation about what they saw and described as his star rising. Some have suggested it was a comet. Others suggested maybe it was a supernova, the birth of a new star. These are both things that would suddenly appear and dominate the night sky. Others have suggested a conjugation. A conjugation is where several of the planets line up together to create the effect of a bright star. I don't know which of these possible explanations best explains what happens, but what is most important is what these representatives of a foreign nation coming to bear tribute to the birth of a new king of the Jews meant to Herod. To the Magi, this news would have been expected to be interpreted by Herod or any king they came to as good news. They would have expected that they would have arrived to this palace to find that the king had just had one of his wives give birth to a new son. A new son who was going to be the heir of this king. But to Herod, it came across as very different news. To Herod, this meant that there was a king coming who was not him. It meant a rival had appeared on the scene. Remember that Herod is not above putting his own sons to death for expressing their desire to, at one stage, be on that throne that he occupied. So this was even more troublesome news to Herod because he knew that this news was not about one of his own sons, but an outsider who he didn't know, who is now a rival to his throne. We also read that Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. People who live under the rule of a tyrant know that bad news for the tyrant very easily turns into bad news for them. So there's often nothing more important to the subjects of a tyrant than keeping the tyrant happy. Because if the tyrant is happy, they're at least not looking for someone to take their anger out on. Tinged with this apprehension of what an angry tyrant might do, there must have been an element of hope that perhaps there might be a future without this tyrant Herod that they could look forward to. And this hope is perhaps best expressed in a prophecy that Israel's ruler will come out of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, of course, was the city of David's birth, and a ruler born in the city of David, and perhaps even a ruler with David's lineage, was something to hope for. If this ruler were of David's lineage, then that could mean this new king could even be the Messiah, the God-anointed and God-appointed ruler of Israel. Now, unwittingly, the Magi had just placed a huge target on whoever they were going to come and worship as the new king of the Jews. And though Herod undoubtedly shrewdly played them, as he inquired more details about the astrological event that had led to their visit and led them to come to this news about this birth of this new king, he started to make some chilling calculations. So he gave them instructions to let them know when they had found the child so that he could go and worship him too. But he had no intention of doing any such thing. Even his own family were not immune to his paranoid and narcissistic machinations. So with the prophecy and the information about the star from the Magi, Herod now had enough information to narrow down the identity of this child king. And so this means that when the Magi, having been warned in a dream by God, did not return to Herod, he was furious, and so he put into place his backup plan. His original plan would have been the death of just one boy in Bethlehem. The backup plan was every boy who could have been that boy, which meant that every boy under 2 years old in the town of Bethlehem was slaughtered. However, the young Jesus was not among those boys slaughtered at the hand of Herod's soldiers. Instead, God had instructed Joseph to take Mary and the child down to Egypt to protect him from Herod's murderous intentions. There, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, and perhaps by the time during the time they were there, some of Jesus' brothers and sisters as well, lived for several years. And so Jesus would have been a young boy, maybe 8 or 10 years old, when he returned to the land of his birth, a land that was still cruelly under the thumb of Roman occupation and still with puppet rulers that extorted the people. And it is in this context that he lived out his public life as he had been prepared by God to do. He was indeed the Messiah, the God-chosen and God-anointed king, sent to usher in this new kingdom. But this kingdom was not just a kingdom of Israel. It was a kingdom of far greater parameters, far greater possibilities, far greater extent. A kingdom that was not characterized by fear and terror, nor by bloodthirsty, murderous rages or exploiting of the people who rule over them. A kingdom of a completely different character. Now, there is so much in our world that is crying out for change. Whether it is the mothers of young children who have been cruelly murdered, just like those in Bethlehem. Or whether it is those who have to flee for safety, often with nothing but the clothes on their backs. Or those oppressed by powers that care not whether they live or die. Jesus came into an environment when all of these things were happening because he came to build a kingdom that will be different. And our world today is not too different from the world that Jesus came to. In the armed conflicts around the world, civilian and child casualties are seen as simply the price that must be paid to achieve certain political ends. We're seeing some of the greatest geographical movements of people around the world as people flee war-torn nations such as Ukraine, or religious or ethnic persecution in the Middle East or South Asia, or tyrannical exploitation by drug lords in Latin America. Just like Jesus did, they come to a new country looking for a safe place to live. And God sent Jesus to earth to build a new kingdom because he couldn't just let the evil reign unchecked in the world. He had to build a new kingdom based on righteousness and justice. As was written in Isaiah chapter 42, he said, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope." This is what Christmas means. It means that the dawn has begun. The dawn has begun for this new kingdom, this new rule. Now, in the C.S. Lewis story, in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, the land of Narnia is stuck under a spell of being always winter, but never Christmas. As the four children who visit the land of Narnia are travelling through the land in search of Aslan, the rightful king of Narnia, who will make everything right, the earliest sign they get of the spell breaking is encountering Father Christmas. For those of you who remember the story, they are hiding in a hole and they hear some sleigh bells ringing. At first, they think, oh no, this is a witch coming, because they knew that the witch rides in a sleigh. But then, one of the beavers realizes that, wait a minute, the witch's sleigh doesn't have bells. This is something different. Goes up and takes a look and finds out that it's Father Christmas there to hand out presents to all of them. It was still winter. There was still snow all around. But Christmas had come. The witch was still there, still nominally in charge, still turning animals into stone. But winter was ending, and spring was coming. Everything else in Narnia at the time looked like the spell was still working, but this was a sign of the rightful king coming home and that winter indeed would end. The very first Christmas was a similar sign. Everything else might look like the spell of evil is still holding power over the world. And sometimes today it might still look that way to us. But the spell is breaking. Christ has come into our world and he is bringing his justice to the nations. Hallelujah.